comes Tavares. Down the right wing. He pulls up, slides one on goal, save made. Rebound Hickey. He scores! He scores! And that locks up a playoff spot for the New York Islanders.
Welcome to the Point Blank Podcast, covering New York Islanders hockey. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
Howie Rose with the call, that audio courtesy of MSG Plus 2. The Islanders are back in the playoffs with what I thought was their grittiest win of the season in Washington on Tuesday night. Welcome to Islanders Point Blank Podcast. I'm Brian Compton. I'll be joined by Peter Boddy from the Daily News in just a few minutes. Joining me now on Skype is my friend Mike Carver. Mike, how are you?
What's up, Brian? How's it going, pal?
What a gritty victory, buddy. That was unbelievable. It really was.
Absolutely, especially when you take into consideration what happened on Saturday afternoon at the Barclays Center, where the Islanders were absolutely embarrassed by the Pittsburgh Penguins on home ice. No heart, no nothing, not a pulse from the team. Cappy comes out Monday morning, says what he says about a few of the guys, a great win Monday night against Tampa, and then going down to D.C. with your fourth-string goaltender in between the pipes. Guys are getting hurt left and right. At least you don't have to hear that stupid phrase backing into the playoffs, right, buddy? I mean, it's just what a great job by the guys getting down a couple goals in the third. They deserve a lot of credit for what went on the last couple of games here. And rightfully so, even, you know, especially, like I said, coming off of what an embarrassing showing on Saturday.
Jack Capuano called out Ryan Strome, Brock Nelson, and Josh Bailey Monday morning before their win against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Here's what Coach had to say.
There's no surprise. We need Stroman to be better. We need Brock to be better. We need Bailey to be better. We need guys to be better if we're going to have any chance at all. And they see it. It's black and white. The video doesn't lie. And it doesn't come down to X's and O's. It doesn't come down to systems. It comes down to how hard you want to compete. And I think if we work on some of those areas, we have to work on those areas, maybe we can alleviate some of the pressure off our goaltender.
Finally, yeah. Mike, I don't know what took Jack so long. I know he's a player's coach. I get it. I know he doesn't like to call guys out individually in the press, but it is about freaking time, man, because they needed this in the worst way, and it showed in their play over the past two games.
Well, I'll tell you what it was, Brian. I mean, he watched the tape of that game on Saturday afternoon, and he said, I'm going to get fired here. I mean, this is pretty much how things are going. I mean, if this team continues to play this way, I'm going to end up without a job.
He has nothing to lose, Mike, because we've said it a million times. He's going to be out of a job if they don't win a round. So you may as well say what you need to say.
I thought he was exactly – he was throwing that life raft out there. All right, if I'm going down, guys are coming with me. That's just the way that it's going
to
happen.
No, it has to, Mike. I mean, it goes back to that game against Carolina, a game that they should have won 5-1, and they won in a shootout or whatever it was. And I asked him after the game, this would have been a dreadful loss, you know, along those lines. And he's going, well, they have six double digits. No, I don't want to hear this garbage. Call out your players because they're not showing up for games that you need to win. Period.
Absolutely. And a lot of people have been on him for a long time. And you've been waiting. You're one of the guys who've really been pushing the charge. You've been waiting for Jack to come out and
forever.
Say something like that. I couldn't believe it when I saw it on Monday morning. I go, wow, this is. And they responded. Give him credit. He pushed the right buttons. Now, listen, Strome still looks lost out there.
He does.
Despite the two big wins.
Bailey and Nelson were -3 in Washington.
Exactly. Oh. And you know what? He did call these guys out. And even, you know, before these two wins, Brian, I kind of talked to you over the weekend about this. I was going to start banging the drum for, you know what, if these guys aren't going to get it done, I got no problem taking an 18-year-old kid like Matthew Barzal, who's had a big year, and throwing him in the lineup after his WHL season, as opposed to what you're getting from these guys right now. I wouldn't have a problem with that. But, hey, he pushed some buttons, and they got a couple of wins.
No, it's great to see. Tavares looked fantastic the past two games. I loved Ryan Pulak's game Monday against Tampa, scoring a goal, getting in a fight. I mean, that's the stuff that needs to happen. And Rick DiPietro said it in between periods against Tampa Bay, Mike. Ryan Pulak is basically daring Jack Capuano to take him out of the lineup now. I mean, he's not going to do that because of all the injuries, but I love what I've seen from Ryan Pulak. I really do.
Absolutely. He gets his chance there Monday night. He gets his chance there, Pulak, on Monday night against Tampa, and then he's in there. And like you said, he's daring him, and like Ricky said during the intermission, daring Jack to take him out. We'll talk about some of the injuries later on in the show, but he's putting out there that he wants to be on the ice every game. He's getting the job done. I thought he played very well in the Washington game,
right?
You know,
he did.
He was in there a couple of those power plays. I thought he did a nice job. He took a couple of shots from the point. He's got to be in there. Well, he has to be in there now. We know that. But even before some of these other things that have happened, he seems like you could build some confidence. I know we had a couple game stretch there. It was just kind of mind-boggling how he couldn't get in the lineup in all those games last week. Didn't make a lot of sense, and I kept throwing out there, I guess Cappy just wants to go with experience at this point. And he's going to have to go with inexperience at this point now after what's happened. But Pulock is going to be in there. He's going to get the job done.
Speaking of inexperience, Mike, Chris Gibson gets his first NHL win with the Islanders trying to clinch a playoff spot. Christopher Gibson gets the call, and boy, oh boy, was he fantastic. He really was.
Yeah, it's you got your – we saw him a little for a split second very early in the season, of course. And it was funny. I was watching the game, and they had the little profile on him in between periods. MSG Plus did a nice job kind of getting to know Chris Gibson, because I sure as hell didn't have any idea anything about the guy. And
he's a pretty bright kid. He speaks like four languages.
Three. I mean, He's got three languages.
I can't even speak one.
So he does he steps in and plays great.
Unbelievable.
He made some key
stood on his head. He was fantastic.
Stood on his head.
I mean, the first goal was iffy, but I mean, after that, he was great. He really was.
I guess we're starting to see more and more why we talked about last week how Arthur Staple kind of had that Twitter Q&A about Halak possibly not being with the team next year.
Yeah.
Brian, I think we're seeing why.
Yeah.
The depth
finally,
of this team has a goal, which has been a long time coming. I mean, you see a kid like Gibson come in and play the way that he did last night in Washington. And you know what? He's going to get one more game, you would think, Brian, because they're playing Saturday and Sunday,
Yep. Especially
with a spot clinch now. You know, they'll probably you would have to assume Greiss is going to play against the Rangers coming up here this week. And then Greiss will play one of the two games this weekend. So you'll get another shot to see Gibson possibly. So a very nice story for the kid, and it was good to see.
Islanders at the Garden Thursday night. The Rangers have a chance to lock up third place in the Metro. Don't forget to check out Rangers Blue Line with myself, Nick Accolzi, and Adam Roddery. We discuss various topics, including the Ryan McDonagh injury and also Dan Girardi. The Rangers are just as decimated as the Islanders, Mike.
Yeah, the Rangers, and they got down against Tampa, of course, at the Garden. And, you know, a nice win by them. And it's weird because we talked all year about this collision course that the Islanders and the Rangers were going to be on, and it seemed like almost destiny that they were going to play in the first round, and that's not going to happen now because the Pittsburgh Penguins, they just don't lose games. They get points every night. It's crazy, and with all the injuries that they have, every team has had injuries, and that's one thing out, you know, a couple people were thrown out about the Islander injuries. Guys, every team has injuries right now. It is down the stretch. Everybody's got them. But with the Rangers, it's going to be interesting to see how they play McDonagh. Not in the, you know, in the first round, possibly. Maybe he'll be back after that. We'll see what happens. But man, they continue to get things done. I'm so interested to see this game Thursday night at the Garden. See both teams in action. Little taste of what the playoffs are going to feel like. And who knows how things shake up? We'll talk about possible first round opponents, things like that. Maybe down the road, maybe we could get a little Ranger. I'm not going to happen in the first round,
but maybe we
can get one. I don't know the way the Penguins are playing right now, if the Rangers can beat them in a seven-game series. But to be fair, Rangers have seemed to have the Penguins' number the last few years in the playoffs.
Michael, I don't think the hockey gods are kind enough to give us a Rangers-Islanders Eastern Conference final.
Oh, well, you could see I'm not talking about it. Listen, you got to get through one round. One round, you put it out there on Twitter. You're not allowed to talk about
the
second round.
We're not talking about the second round. It's been 23 years. We're not talking about the second round.
Absolutely not. I agree with you 1,000%.
Let's talk about the first round, Mike, because we've got to look at this from both angles. Everybody wants to play Florida. I get it. I would rather see them play Florida, not because I think Florida is the easier opponent. It's the easier bracket if you want to go deep into the playoffs.
Right, but we're not allowed to talk about that.
Well, exactly, but let me finish here.
Okay, buddy.
We don't know if Fleury is going to play, right? We have no ideas. And you have to take into account, you have, yes, there's a lot of young guys on the Panthers roster that haven't been there before. I get it. but you have Luongo between the pipes. You have Brian Campbell on that blue line. You have Jaromir Jagr up front. There are multiple guys, Mike, who have been there before. This is not as easy as everybody is making it out to be.
Listen, nothing is going to be easy. Right. And I think the one thing everybody needs to look at when you talk about the Eastern Conference playoffs is, I think that you can make a case for any of the eight teams that are going to get in that they can go to the Stanley Cup Finals. I really think that you're going to be able to make that, except maybe Philadelphia, just because they got to play Washington in the first round if it shakes out that way. But I think you can make a case for just about every team could go to the Stanley Cup Finals. On the flip side, Bri, I think you can make a case for any of the eight teams to lose in the first round.
I totally agree, Mike. And
it's wide open.
The Penguins are going to cool down, Mike. I mean, they're not going to score five goals a game in the playoffs. That's not happening.
You know, it might not be the worst thing to play the Penguins in the first round. And I'm staying where I've said for the last couple weeks. I think that the Florida Panthers are the path for the Islanders to win their first series since 1993. I think that the best chance of that happening is if they play Florida. I know that you bring up Jagr, Campbell, and Luongo. But honestly, Bri, after that, a lot of kids who have never had a taste of playoff hockey, we saw it with the Islanders a couple years ago. We saw all their kids get their feet wet. Now, to be fair, the Islanders were a team that just got into the playoffs as an eighth seed, whereas the Panthers are going to win their division, which is a whole nother thing. And that place down there also, you brought this up, home ice advantage
there.
There isn't any.
I know.
Zero.
Let's get Peter Boddy's take. He joins me now. Pete, Brian Compton, how are you?
BC, my man, what's happening? Everybody feeling a little better today?
I would hope so. Let's start with Cappy Monday morning calling out Strom, Bailey, and Nelson. For me, Pete, it was just what took so long, right?
Oh, 100%. Long overdue. You know, I understand his reasons for not wanting to do it. You know, a lot of coaches don't like doing it. But I think at some point, you know, desperate times, you know, call for desperate measures. And I think it was long overdue with those players. I mean, they haven't produced, you know, Bailey and Strome in particular were playing with Tavares and they were kind of dragging him down, in my opinion.
Yeah.
When the coach questions your effort, I mean, you have to, you know, I would think you have to, you know, take that to heart. And you know, it seems like they have, and the team in general, I think, has responded really well to it. I mean, they've played two really good games despite, you know, missing some guys. They took care of their business and they clinched their spot. So, I mean, to me, Capuano has, you know, deserved some criticism over the last, you know, several years. But, you know, to me, I think I can't find fault with what he did these last couple of games, especially, you know, when you press buttons and it works.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm just curious, do you think, I mean, he's got to know, I would think, that if they don't win a round, that he's not going to be the coach next year. So maybe he's just like, well, I may as well do it now because if I'm not going to be here in 2 weeks, what's the big deal, right?
There's no question. You know, the new ownership comes in.
Yeah.
You know, job's clearly on the line. You know, Capuano even, you know, like he tried to flip the narrative a little bit. You know, like a couple of weeks ago, he said, you know, if you would have told us we were in this position, you know, at the start of the season, we would have taken it. You know, and that's really a lie. I mean, you know, in training camp, this team was talking about competing for a division title.
Right.
You know, gaining home ice advantage in the playoffs, which certainly, you know, cost them last year. So, you know, you can't have it both ways, you know. And you know, I like to call it like I see it, you know, when it comes to the Islanders. I mean, I think you know that by now.
Yeah, I picked up on that.
I try not to pull punches.
No, like, I know.
Fans a lot of times will, you know, will give me some, you know, kickback and say, you know, you're a troll or you're so negative or whatever. But honestly, like, that's, you know, my job is not to be all rainbows and unicorns.
Right.
I mean, you know, when I see some BS, I try to call it out. And you know, things like, you know, using injuries as an excuse. You know, look at some of the teams around the league and some of the guys that are out right now.
It's everywhere.
You know, including teams that they played. I mean, you can't, like, he actually said after the game on Saturday when they got blown out by the Penguins, you know, he actually referred to the Penguins as healthy. I mean, that's a crock.
No, yeah, that's absurd.
I mean, they were without Fleury and they were without Malkin and a couple of other guys, you know, and they pasted the Islanders. So, I mean, you can't take people for fools and, you know, say stuff like that when, you know, it's obvious, you know, that the opposite is true. And, I try not to let that stuff slide. I mean, I kind of think that's the job.
What do you think about the season Tavares has had? Do you think it's more the guys that we've been talking about just not producing, or do you think he's just having a bad season?
Well, I mean, I don't think he's certainly not having the season he had last
right.
year. I think that's clear. And, and people say all the time, well, you know, he played with these guys last year and they all produced. Okay, but fine. But, I mean, you know, at some point, you know, you have to call these guys out for, you know, for their lack of production. It wouldn't be it's not the first time in the history of sport that some players had a good first season and then regressed. You know what I mean? You see it in sports all the time. So, I mean, Lee and Strom and, you know, even Nelson after a hot start this year didn't play well for much of the second half. You know, I don't put that on Tavares. I mean, to me, Tavares has been asked to go above and beyond in his career here in terms of elevating players who were career minor leaguers.
Brad Boies, P.A. Parenteau. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Right. Molson, Brad Boies. I mean, he's made a lot of guys a lot of money. And if you look at their careers after they left him, their numbers all dropped dramatically, you know, including Thomas Vanek, you know, who might be the only guy who was considered like a legitimate first-line player that he ever got to play with.
Yeah. Do you think Garth goes – I mean, I think Garth's going to be back no matter what happens here. That's just the vibe that I get. Do you think he goes out and finally gets Johnny a stud winger at the draft or during the offseason?
I mean, it's one of those I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, I know he's tried. He's drafted guys top five. You know, he's traded a couple. He's given guys chances. There's a couple of more guys on the way.
No, but I mean, like a bona fide guy in his prime.
Oh yeah, no. To me, you put an established winger on Tavares's, you know, left side, a guy who's, you know, who scores 40 goals in the league, a guy like that.
Yeah.
I want to see Tavares get to play for a full season with that guy.
Absolutely.
Whoever that is, whoever you decide it is, you know. And they have some money coming off the books. I mean, whether you want them to re-sign Okposo or Nielsen is up to you.
Right.
But I mean, they have some money. They have plenty of prospects for which to trade. You package a couple of them, you should be able to get a bona fide guy. I mean, at some point, it's Garth's job now to advance this past what it is. You know, if they lose in the first round again, you know, to me, you have to kind of maybe break up some of this core, I think. I mean, you've given them chances now. If they go one and done.
Yeah.
You know, to me, I think you have to do it. I think it's only fair to Tavares. Why would you want to kick that guy off?
Right.
You signed him to a reasonable deal. Now go get him a legitimate first line player.
No question. You saw the shenanigans on Twitter after the win in Washington Tuesday night, Pete, about, we have to play Florida. You know, the fans chirping about the Panthers. This is a really good team that Florida has. I'm not so sure that it's such an ideal matchup. I mean, I know the Penguins are playing really well right now. I would like to think that that's going to cool off at some point. If Fleury can't play, I'd rather face Matt Murray over seven games than Roberto Luongo, wouldn't you?
No question about it. And, you know, certainly the Luongo angle of it would be a lot of fun, you know, 20 years later. 20 years later, we have Luongo and the Islanders in a playoff series. That would be a lot of fun. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think the Panthers are much better than they're being given credit for. They have a lot of young talent.
Right.
You know, and that young talent includes, you know, ageless Jaromir Jagr, who probably can play another 10 years in the league. You know, the funny thing about Jagr is, I looked this up last night, you know, up until 2 days ago, or two games ago, when Tavares, you know, scored 6 points in the last games, Jagr had more points than Tavares this season.
Right. It's crazy.
You know, I mean,
he's
phenomenal. He's phenomenal. And I agree with you, like, to start looking past the Panthers would be a huge mistake.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I wouldn't prefer to play them over Pittsburgh, but my point is, like, that's a really good team. Like, don't just assume like you're getting a free ticket to the second round by playing Panthers. I mean,
it's silly. It really is.
It's silly because, I mean, you know, it's hard to win a division. I mean, the Islanders, the Islanders don't win divisions. I mean, you know, the Panthers, you know, are a young, you know, have been like a young team like the Islanders. They drafted, you know, they made the trade to get Luongo back. They brought in Jagr and he found the fountain of life in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. You know, it's, you know, I think it'll be a tough series either way. And to me, honestly, like, you know, the Islanders can, can be happy with making the playoffs three times out of 4 years. But I'm sorry, and I've said this all year, they could have gone 82-0 in my mind.
There's got to be progress.
If they lose in the first round again, you know, it's not acceptable. I'm sorry, it's not. And I agree with you. I don't think Garth is going to get fired by the new owners. I think maybe if they missed the playoffs.
Right.
It might have been on the table, but to me, you know, this is it for this group. I don't want to hear they have injuries. I don't want to hear any of that stuff. You know, you either win the series or you lose the series. And, you know, there are teams all over the league playing with injuries, like we mentioned. And, you know, it's the teams that can overcome it that are, you know, that are going to move on.
It's time to win a round for sure. Pete, thanks so much for a few minutes. I really appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Brian. See you at the Garden tomorrow.
All right, pal. Take care. Thanks again to Peter Boddy. You can follow him on Twitter at Peter Boddy. I'm rejoined here by Mike Carver. Mike, Pete's kind of echoed what we've been saying all along. There's got to be more accountability throughout the organization. We finally saw from Jack a few days ago. But I know they have all these injuries on the blue line. We're going to get to that, and Yarrow's out as well. But they've got to, at one year or another, they've got to advance to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, I know, and Pete just talked about it, and there's no, you know, there's no sugarcoating at all. The team has to win a round, and we talked earlier in the show, I thought Florida was going to be their best chance, but it doesn't matter who they play. I don't care if they play Pittsburgh, Florida,
right.
They don't win another game the rest of this week and they end up playing Washington. I don't care what the situation is for the New York Islanders. They have to win a round in the playoffs. Doesn't matter. I don't care about injuries. I don't
no,
want to hear
you
about
You can't
it.
Play that card, Mike. Everybody's banged up. Everybody.
Everybody's banged up. They're in the same spot they were last year. I mean, Travis Hamonic going to be missing a play. He ain't playing again, Bri. You know that. You're not playing.
I don't know.
You're not playing.
I can't say that for sure. I can't.
Oh, the cryptic garbage with the injuries again. I can't take it. But you know that the guy's not playing in the first round. You know it. I can just feel it. I feel it already. It's happening again.
I don't know. some time has passed already. I think there's a chance we'll see Travis. If he can crawl, Mike, he's going to play. I mean, that's just – we know how Travis is. It's killing him that this is happening to him again. And I'm sure all he's thought about for the last 12 months is that he couldn't play last year in the playoffs. So if there's any chance whatsoever that he can play, he's going to play.
I'm with you on that, and Travis is a gamer. I just – man, you hear nothing right now, and when you hear nothing, it's never any good. So I do got the feeling that this could be another situation like last April where you're not going to have Travis Hamonic for your biggest games of the season. But it doesn't matter who it is, Bri. You got to win. There are no excuses. There are zero. None. Don't care who the opponent is. Now is the time. You got to get it done.
Sounds like Calvin DeHaan is going to be okay. He was with the Islanders on the trip to Washington. That's a really good sign, Mike. They're not beating anybody without Yarrow, Hamonic, and Calvin DeHaan. That's not happening.
No, not at all.
No way.
And what about Brian Strait?
You know what? And I tweeted this last night. Can we not celebrate a guy getting hurt?
No, never do that. That stuff is never good. Please. There's no reason for any of that. But the guys are going down. And you know what? There's a little wild card in this, Brian. We'll see what happens in terms of what's going to go on with Pelech.
Yeah.
I mean, is Pelech's going down? He's going to get some conditioning. Is he going to be ready to play? Do you think that – I mean, listen, this has been months now. I know that the kid showed you a lot when he was in there for that great couple-week stretch when he played before he got hurt with another mystery injury that we still don't really know a hell of a lot about. But, I mean, is he going to be able to contribute? Is he going to be ready next week? Is he going to be on with the Islanders in the playoffs?
Well, he's going to play for Bridgeport, and then Garth and Jack will talk to Brett Thompson. And if Thompson says this kid's good to go, I think we might see him. Mike, I liked what I saw from him when he was in there. The way the blue line looks right now, he might have to play. I mean, they're so decimated on that blue line right now. Just let the kid get some experience and let's see what he can do.
I think that as long as you have – three out of four, as long as you got three out of four of Letty, Boychuk, Hamonic, and DeHaan.
Right.
And you know what? Even you got to throw Hickey in there because Hickey's had his, four out of those five. I think if you were missing one, you could get by. I think last year when everything just kind of crumbled, everybody was just going down one after another.
Right.
I think if you could consistently have those, four out of those five guys in there every night, I think that you'll be able to survive. I think that's definitely something that they can do.
I think a lot of it's going to depend on DeHaan. It sounds like he's going to be okay. If he re-injures it or he's just not good to go, I think that's going to really determine whether or not we see Pelech at all in the playoffs, Mike.
Well, to be fair, if I'm Jack or if I'm the guys, I wouldn't play him the rest of the week.
Yeah.
There's really no reason to. You got three games left. Obviously, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a big game at the Garden and all that stuff, but the most important thing is being healthy for game one next Wednesday or Thursday, whatever it's going to be, against whoever the opponent is. That is what is more important. I would not play DeHaan. Depending on what the situation is, I wouldn't play him because you need to see what these other guys are going to give you in case they got to play. You know, Mayfield's got to get in there and give you a little bit more time. You got to keep running Pulock out there, as we know. So give some other guys a chance here over the final three regular season games and let Calvin DeHaan rest. And who knows, maybe he'll be 100% by the middle of next week. Then he's ready to go.
I'm just glad Pelic's okay, Mike. These blood clots are terrifying. I mean, Stamkos, right. Pelic, Pasquale Dupuy, it ended his career. Right. It's really scary what's going on with this stuff.
It's crazy. It really is. And it's good that he's getting back on the ice, going to play, and he plays well down up there. Then, hey, he's going to be a contributor possibly for this team in the playoffs because they're going to need all hands on deck once you get into a six, because no matter who, it's going to be a six or a seven game series. It's just the way the Islanders play hockey.
Yeah.
One night they look like they're one of the two or three best teams in the East. The next night it looks like they shouldn't even be in the playoffs. So when you have a team like that, it's going to go six or seven games no matter who the opponent is.
Let's talk about Thomas Greiss here for a second. We really didn't get into him. Are you worried about his play, Mike? You know, a couple of bad goals here, left and right. I'm kind of concerned. I think he'll be okay, especially at home. But the goals that he's allowed over the past few games here, those can't happen in the playoffs.
No, not at all. And it was tough. Like you say, a couple of somewhat not outstanding performances, and you're starting to see more and more of the goals that shouldn't go in starting to go in. I think it's got to be him, though, right, Brian?
Oh, he's the game one goalie.
He's got to be the guy next week when they play game one. I don't see how. I mean, geez, Berube, who knows?
No.
You're not
going to
start Christopher Gibson next week. Guys, don't calm down with
right,
that stuff.
Exactly.
So Greiss is going to be the guy. I think he'll be all right. Plays, obviously, like you said, much better at home than on the road, which you could say for the whole team this year. Right? I mean, it's
absolutely
crazy how well the team has played at the Barclays Center, despite nobody wanting to be there. But they play very well there. So, and that's going to be an interesting thing to look for next week also, Brian. We'll get into this more next week when we know the opponent and we know who's going to be coming into the building. But I'm still very intrigued as to what it's going to sound like for an Islander playoff game at the Barclays Center. We now know that there's definitely going to be one.
Yep.
I'm interested to see the atmosphere in the place, especially since it's not going to be the Rangers. I'm very interested to see.
Fill the building, right? I mean, for God's sake.
Oh, well, they better. They better. I'll tell you that right now. They better.
We will have a show next week. We do not know when, simply because I don't know where I'm going as far as the playoffs are concerned. I don't have my schedule. There's a chance I'm going out west, so I might be on Skype and Mike will be here in the studio. We'll see what we have to do, but we will have a show, I promise.
Absolutely.
Thanks again to Peter Boddy. Don't forget, we're on Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboom, and SoundCloud. You can always go to iTunes. Just search SNY.TVHockey, and please make sure to rate and review the show. I'm Brian Compton. He's Mike Carver. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
This has been the Islanders Point Blank Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Podcast Network.